Chapter 15, Personal Types of the Messiah. In pursuing our aim to evince the truth of Scripture by showing how the prophecies contained therein have been fulfilled, we have arrived at the consideration of the vast amount of prophecy which was given to the sacred writers concerning the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have shown how every detail which had been prophesied of him from the first promise given 4,000 years before his coming, down to the days of Malachi, who preceded him by nearly 400 years, has been wonderfully and accurately fulfilled. There are, in addition to the actual promises and prophecies concerning him, many other foreshadowings of what he would be when he came to take our flesh. There are numerous types and shadows, figures and representations of him contained in the Old Testament, which were as truly prophetical of him as were the words of prophecy and promise. These types and figures set him forth in various different aspects of his offices and work as the Redeemer of his people. Some of the types are of a personal character, while others are embodied in material things, all of which, to the enlightened mind, set forth one or the other of the particular characteristics of his great work of redemption. Because his person and work are so transcendent, no one type or figure could possibly set forth much of him, and for this reason there were several different types given, each one exemplifying a different aspect or characteristic, so that together they would in a feeble manner set forth what he would be when he came. We propose in this chapter to consider those personages in the Old Testament narratives which represent some portion or other of his offices or character. It is evident that this was the divine intention and not a mere fanciful interpretation of Scripture. If we take, for instance, the case of Adam, he is definitely stated to be the figure of him that was to come, that is, of Christ, who is therefore called the last Adam in comparison with the first man Adam. So also Moses, as faithful in all his house, is contrasted with Christ as a son over his own house. And Aaron, as high priest, is compared with this great high priest. And David and Solomon, as kings of Israel, with this king of kings. Let us look first then at Adam as a figure of him that was to come. Adam was given dominion over the living creatures which God had made. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand, and thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. In this he was a figure of Christ, who has all power given unto him in heaven and in earth. And there shall be given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not be destroyed. Thus, Adam was the head of the old creation, and Christ is the head of the new creation, which is his body, the church. Adam stood as the representative of all his children, And when he fell in the Garden of Eden, they all fell with him. And the guilt of his sin is imputed to them all. In this too, he was the figure of him that was to come. For Christ represents all his spiritual children, the church, and stood as surety for them, offering himself a living sacrifice to God in their behalf, and thus taking away their sins, while his righteousness is imputed to them all. For, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Again, Adam was the husband of Eve, who was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. So it is said of Christ and his church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Then, if we take Isaac, he too seems to be a figure of Christ in some further and different particulars. For instance, his miraculous birth, which took place when both his parents were past the age, seems to shadow forth the miraculous birth of Jesus, although that far exceeded the birth of Isaac, in that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Again, Isaac was offered up at the command of God as the only begotten son of Abraham. And so Christ was offered at the command of his Father as the only begotten Son to redeem his people. Take Joseph also. He was hated of his brethren, who sold him into Egypt, where he was so humiliated as to be falsely shut up in prison. But the time came when he was exalted to be next to Pharaoh as Lord of all Egypt, and made the provider of food for all the people and for his own brethren. So Christ came unto his own brethren in the flesh, but they hated and rejected him, and at length crucified him. Yet God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, and there he has all fullness of supplies for his people. Moses, too, was the prophet of the Lord to instruct his ancient people Israel, and to give them his law, in which was declared the mind of God toward them, and how they were to worship him. But he foretold of a greater prophet, whom the Lord would raise up, like unto himself. And this was Christ, the true prophet of the Lord, and the teacher of his people in the gospel. Again, Moses was a mediator between Israel and their God, and in this he was typical of the great mediator of the new covenant. Then, if we come to Aaron, the high priest over the children of Israel, he was therein typical of Christ as the great high priest of his people. Both were called of God to the solemn office, and both were to be without blemish in their persons. The high priestly garments of Aaron were also typical of the character of our great high priest. The work of Aaron in offering the appointed sacrifices and bringing the blood into the most holy place with incense on the Day of Atonement was also beautifully typical of the atoning work of Christ when he offered himself and, being raised again, ascended up into heaven, there to present his own precious blood and with the incense of his merits and intercession. Then The kingly office of Christ is represented both in the person and reign of David and those of his son Solomon. The kingship of David sets forth in type the great king of Zion in his humiliation and sorrow, while that of Solomon sets forth his victorious exaltation and the peace that ensues thereupon. Solomon, too, was greater than all other kings in wisdom, riches, and honor, and the kingdom of Israel reached its greatest extent under his dominion. So Christ has all wisdom and understanding, riches of grace and provision for his people, and his kingdom shall overcome all others. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There are two other personal types that might be mentioned. One is Jonah, who, when he was 3 days and nights in the fish's belly, was typical of Christ in being buried in the heart of the earth for that period after his atoning death, and then being raised up from the dead, so that salvation is of the Lord. Then there is Boaz, who, in his kindly treatment of Ruth and taking her to be his wife, is typical of Christ in dealing with his people, who are brought to leave their own people and ways like Ruth and to cleave unto the Lord. All these wonderful personages, typical of the Lord Jesus Christ, are as so many prophecies of what he would be, and have received their fulfillment in the coming and work of their great antitype, and what an evidence they give of the divine origin of the Scriptures and the design of God therein in thus shadowing forth his beloved Son as he should come and take our flesh.